What is happening? Happy Friday. Hope you are living right, feeling well. Welcome in. So happy to have you guys until 1 o'clock. A lot of ground to cover, a lot of Titans and Vols talk to have. We've been spending a lot of time on Florida Week today, certainly. It's a big task heading into the swamp as a nearly 20-point dog. Now, that line has since moved. That's good news for the Vols. And good news for Vols fans. I don't know how you're betting it, but at least you can feel a little more peace of mind that Vegas thinks you're not just a straight-up 20-point underdog. So we've been spending some time on what gives them the best chance to succeed in Florida, improbable as though it may be. I mean, this is the beauty of sports, right? When to expect the unexpected. The Titans against the Seahawks was as unexpected an outcome as any in football last week. And then the Titans deserve tremendous credit for that. The Ravens beating the Chiefs was an incredibly unexpected outcome given the way that that game had kind of taken shape until the final minute. And there was a fumble recovery, and the Ravens go on to beat the best team in all of football. So this is why we watch the games. You can hang your head about it heading into the week of. You can be doom and gloom, but there's no fun in that. So why not just talk about the game itself? We're going to also get to how the Vols should approach this Florida run game here in just a second. You'll hear from defensive line coach Rodney Garner. But why don't we start with Nick in Lebanon, who's been waiting patiently and wants to chime in today. What's up, Nick?
So much, brother. How are you?
I am great.
Good deal. I did want to bring up, I did read an article yesterday that Tennessee has the fastest offense in the country, running three plays every 1.03 minutes, just ahead of Utah State, who has a very quick offense as well. But that can also mean terrible news for Tennessee, given this rushing attack of Florida, the ball more, if we can't move the ball. So I want to touch on Joe Milton, because I do not see any more progression in this guy. What you see is what you get. And I hear a lot of people saying he has a long, deep ball. He can throw the ball. I just don't get it if you cannot get it to the receiver. It's almost like using a driver on the green. It's useless. Why fix what isn't broken? Hendon Hooker, I'm not saying he's great, but he is giving us the best chance to win. And if we cannot succeed with the little short dink and dunk kind of 6 yards on first down, we're giving Florida the ball way too much at that point. Because what's really going to win us this football game, if we even have a chance to come close to winning this game, is succeed on first down with this high-potent offense. I'll hang up and listen.
It's a completely reasonable assessment, Nick, and I think that's the way that a lot of people are looking at this, right? It's why you favor Hendon Hooker, because of the efficiency that he gives you the better chance at, right? It's all about winning within the margins, and that is where Hooker is going to give you the advantage, because it's not going to be 60, 70-yard bombs down the field just for the sake of trying to break open the defense. If you don't hit but one of them throughout the course of the game, it's not that useful of a tool. It's a great weapon. It's a great asset to have when you need to back a defense off, or at least make them fear the deep pass and prepare for the deep pass, but it is not at all effective when they know and everybody else knows that you're going to overthrow the receiver by 10 or 15 yards. And that's being generous, because sometimes he overthrows them more than that.
And he's been taking majority of first team reps this week, Hendon Hooker.
Yes. And so that is it. It's trending that way, whether it be because Joe Milton may not necessarily be at full health, or because the coaching staff is recognizing for this particular opponent, this is probably the best approach. Now, on the other side, you look at what Florida wants to do. Florida wants to grind you to death with this rushing attack, with these quarterbacks, both of them, who you're probably going to see in some capacity, that are going to make you pay on the ground. The passing game is not how they win. It is through the running attack, and you saw them give Alabama all kinds of problems in that SEC championship rematch this past week. So Rodney Garner, who's probably the Vols' best recruiter, is their defensive line coach. He has you in the money for the top recruit in the country next year. All of these great things about Rodney Garner. And his unit appears to be coached up well. They appear to be sound. They appear to be disciplined. And we'll see how that holds up against Florida. He was asked about this earlier this week, and this is what the Vols defensive line coach had to say.
Well, you know, obviously they're a two-headed monster. With Emory and the Richardson kid, you know, they're both very good. They're both dynamic runners. Actually, 15 may even be more dynamic, you know, as far as just pure elite speed. But, you know, Emory's a seasoned veteran. You know, he's got 3 years in that system, so he totally understands what Mullen's trying to do. They do a great job with the cue power, the counter, the reads. They don't put them in situations for them to beat them. You know what I'm saying? They give them situations that are conducive to them being successful, the RPOs off the run. You know, then you throw in the quarterback run, which, you know, now they've got an extra guy that we can't account for with Hatch. So, you know, it makes us have to make sure that we're being really dialed in detail to doing all the little things correctly.
It's Rodney Gardner, the Vols defensive line coach. He's talking about this Florida rushing attack and what his unit, his group, has been focused on trying to rein in. It is a problem. That's why they are so successful, because they have multiple guys who can execute this versatile running scheme and make you pay. Especially if you overcommit. Now, here's the biggest thing about explosive runs, right? Something to remember when you watch the NFL, when you watch college football, when you watch high school football. Something that I keep in mind every time I watch Derrick Henry. Explosive running plays, chunk plays on the ground, so often are caused by missed gap assignments by the defense far more than they are by exceptional run blocking in front of you. That is where you get burned as a unit. If you do not swarm tackle, if you over pursue your rushing lanes, get too far upfield, they run a draw play on you, and now you're bleeped. These are the kinds of things that run-based offenses, certainly this kind in college football, will take advantage of your defensive line group if they do not have that discipline. And that's something that Dan Mullen is absolutely going to try to exploit against Tennessee. And Tim Banks, who, you know, Tim Banks's group, for all the unknowns about him coming out as an assistant coach at Penn State, I think there are some flaws, right? And we've talked about the linebacking, lack of depth and talent, and what this kind of year, what your expectations should be this year on this side, on that side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball. But so far, I've been, you know, not outright disappointed, I guess, is the way that I should look at. I don't know what to make of them. I just know it's better than I expected it to look.
No, they've come out ready to play every week. It actually has been an encouraging part of this first year of
against Pitt. It was defense and special teams. Mm-hmm. Mike Eckler, Chili's hot, baby. Out there blocking field goals and whatnot. It's exciting stuff, and it helps you win in the margins, especially in a game like this that you can't afford to waste like they did against Pitt in week two. 615-737-1045. Let's go to Seth in Lafayette, who wants to talk about the Falls. What's up? What's up, Seth?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm great, buddy.
I was just calling in to let you talk about the quarterback dilemma. Joe Milton is the answer, man. He's got to be, because, I mean, Heupel's turned out so many quarterbacks into grade A studs, you know, over the past, you know, however long he's been coaching. And, you know, he's got to be the guy, because, I mean, if we're going to have trust in our coach, we got to trust him too. I mean, backup is all right, but, I mean, the only thing he did against Tech was, I mean, it's Tech. You know, we were supposed to beat them. We were supposed to beat them bad. That's just how it goes, but. Milton's still got a lot to prove, man. And if he shows that he can throw the deep ball, I mean, I'm not asking for a lot, but just, you know, two or three over 40-yard passes, and I think we're in this thing.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Seth. 615-737-1045. Don't forget, former Titans and Oilers great Chris Sanders is going to join us coming up next, because it is homecoming week at Nissan Stadium. But in the meantime, let me say this about Josh Heupel and his quarterback situation, all right? It's not like these guys are young, early in their careers, and they're being molded at this point. Both Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton, I don't know whether fully formed is the correct word, but I think this is as evolved as either of them are going to get at this point in their career. That was my fear about Joe Milton prior to the season beginning. We talked about it entirely too much, And it's not me sitting here saying, you know, I was right and you were wrong. No, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just looking at the body of work. I'm looking at how many years both of these guys have been around and saying, okay, outside of comfort level, which does matter, how much can they actually substantively improve something like touch on the ball, on accuracy, which may be the most difficult thing to coach? That's why I fear Joe Milton. You can be just drooling over the upside and the potential that he has, and you can trust Josh Heupel to make good decisions, to try and get the best version of these guys that we have seen to this point. That's what he's been tasked with doing. The question is that already something that we're seeing? Is this the best that Josh Heupel can do with these two particular individuals so far along in their college football careers? Let's squeeze in Scott in Bethpage quickly. Now, listen, Scott, I want you to remain calm. We're talking about quarterbacks. I know that's probably what you're going to want to talk about, but just know that this would have been 2 days in a row that you've broken your promise about not talking about quarterbacks.
First of all, I didn't talk about quarterbacks yesterday.
That's not true.
No, I don't think you did.
You're doing everything. I commend you for doing everything you can. First of all, real quick, I want to apologize for making the racking process less than what it truly is. I don't think you know what racking means to me to have that done, you know, when I call. So it means a lot, and I guess I get a little overzealous. I don't want to tell you to rack me anymore. I just, you rack me at your leisure, Buck. It's all you. But anyway, listen, this game's going to be won. First of all, number one, it's going to be won on the defensive line. And the coach, you couldn't have had a better coach on you couldn't have put more audio on it that was more on point for what I wanted to say. It's going to be one up front on the defensive line if we are able to stay with them and win the game. Now, the reason why I say that is because if nobody's talked about it, the last three games they've played, I've not seen one defensive lineman breathing hard. And, buddy, let me tell you something. When they're running on that field and off that field, they are trucking it and getting it on the field. That's not a normal thing for our program, especially the last 5 or 6, 7 years. Second of all, our offensive line, we have a good, capable offensive line, and I think our running backs are strong and tough, and they're fast enough. I think we have a good body of work with the running game and a good body of work with our defensive line staying healthy and staying fresh that we can compete with them, because the used to playing in this or practicing in this high – octane offense, and I think that has been a huge benefit for them. If you want to touch on that, you can, but I'm not going to ask you to rack me. I appreciate you guys.
He's like, he came in here with his tail between his legs because he racked himself yesterday. I think that's okay. I mean, certain circumstances. We don't want to make it a precedent where everybody's racking themselves. And Lucas, I would trust to be more judicious, given that he is the person with controls of the button, not really me. I'm just the one who screams it at him. But your point about the defensive line, this is why I feel better about that group probably than any other at this point, because they do use a rotation. They do keep them fresh so that they aren't being, this is what you try to do in college football more than anything. Depth matters, because when Alabama comes at you with wave after wave after wave of five-star recruits, and you're keeping the game close up until that point where their depth starts to wear down yours, that is how you gain competitive edge, certainly, especially with a group like that. So I think that's probably how the matchup gets decided. And you will be able to tell pretty early on whether Tennessee is able to hold their own. We'll talk to Chris Sanders, former Titans and Oilers great, coming up next at his homecoming week at Nissan Stadium this week, Titans and Colts. We'll talk to Chris. We'll talk about what it's been like to come back and be reunited with a lot of his old teammates and a lot of Titans and Oilers greats, and we'll talk about what he thinks about this game on Sunday. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Getting ready to talk about the Oilers homecoming game against the Indianapolis Colts, the Tennessee Titans hosting, honoring the franchise legends. I think there's something like 60 of them coming back for this game. A lot of them are speaking to the Titans media right now. I saw Warren Moon is at the podium and was discussing the idea of who should wear, who belongs in the Houston Oilers throwback jerseys when the time comes for such jerseys to be worn. And I think, and he said, you know, the Titans, because they own the rights. And I think just as soon as you saw Warren Moon, Oilers legend, at a podium in Nashville, I think that kind of ends the discussion.
Yeah, how do you think our buddy over in Seattle feels about it?
I don't care. I just don't. I don't care what anybody thinks about this. This is such a dumb thing that continues to proliferate sports talk conversation. Anyway, speaking of sports content, Carson Wentz is practicing today. That report has come out from Zach Kuether of The Athletic. A bit of a surprise, Colts quarterback Carson Wentz is practicing, which means starting Sunday in Tennessee could be in play. He adds about 2 minutes ago, even more of a surprise, Wentz is moving around fine in individual drills, throwing completely normal. This bodes very well for Sunday. So Carson Wentz, after all that talk about Brett Hundley and Jacob Eason, it looks like Carson Wentz is very much still in the mix. Now, Carson Wentz got twisted into a pretzel by Aaron Donald, and this was the play that caused him to injure not one but two of his ankles. But it sounds like that he will be available going through practice today for Sunday in Tennessee, and that will make this matchup a little more interesting, given that I don't think he's going to be moving that well if both of his ankles are bothering him. In the meantime, we'll talk to former Oilers and Titans great Chris Sanders, who joins us on the line right now. Chris, buddy, it's good to catch up with you. How are we living on this Friday?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, but you know how we got to start our conversation at is, you know, I'm jealous of your voice. You got the radio voice. And I got to get it, man. I mean, what do I need to do? I've been drinking coffee. I've been drinking A&W root beer. I mean, what can I do to get the voice, man?
Heavy smoking and drinking, Chris. I recommend tequila. That's where I would start. I think it just kind of, it's eroded my vocal cords, so that's why I sound this way. I don't know what it's going to look like in 20 years, but right now we're killing it, baby.
Man, how you doing? You doing good? You enjoyed that game last week?
Man, that was something else in Seattle.
Man, wasn't it?
I could not. So let me talk to you about this, Chris. Let's start there before we get into the game. When you have a moment like A.J. Brown did in that game, how do you bounce back mentally as a player? Are you even concerned about it as a professional athlete? Is your confidence such that you can just carry yourself on and be like, all right, that was last week. This is this week. I'm going to go out and perform.
Yeah, number one, you got to have amnesia, especially as a receiver. You definitely have to have it. But number two is it starts on Monday. Yeah, you know, you always see the wide receivers catch the jug machines and, you know, doing catching drills with their coaches. You're going to forget about that when A.J. Brown catches a 70-yard bomb against the Colts. So, you know, yeah, every receiver drops the ball. Even the best Hall of Fame wide receivers like Moss and Jerry Rice, those guys drop balls. But what made them guys so special is because – they forgot about what they did, and they focused at the task at hand. So with A.J. Brown, he just got to focus on the Colts and not focus on him dropping balls. Because when's the last time we ever saw A.J. Brown drop two or three balls in a game? The last time we really saw him drop a ball was against last year, the Colts.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to focus this game and make some big plays for the Tennessee Titans.
So take us into the Sanders home. Where were you watching the game? How did you react to it in the second half? Because that's one of the most improbable results I've ever seen, Chris.
Actually, I was at football practice. I mean, I went back and watched the replay. But this is what I learned about the Tennessee Titans is, you know, everybody's been saying it, every sportscaster has been saying it, this is a resilient team. You know, when they played against the Arizona Cardinals, you know, they struggled and they looked lethargic and all this. But here's the thing that I love about this team is the makeup of them. When I say the makeup of the team, the identity of the team, these are guys that even though they go through adversity, even though they go through trials and tribulation, there's a focus and there's an intent to say, you know what? Yeah, we made some mistakes. Yes, we dropped some balls. Yes, we didn't execute. But guess what? We're going to run through somebody's face. And then you get to the Seattle Seahawks. They faced adversity. They were down 24-9. It looked like it was over. But the one thing that they didn't do, nobody pointed fingers, nobody panicked. Why? Because they knew the identity of their team.
The great one, Chris Sanders, is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're talking about Oilers homecoming week because there will be a bunch of greats in the house for Sunday's game, and we'll get to that here in just a second. But I want to, Chris, that identity that you're talking about, that second half mentality, that is something that this organization, whether in Houston or in Tennessee, that has transcended across coaching staffs, across roster turnover. It's something that's embedded in what the Oilers Titans franchise is known for. And I don't necessarily know why that is, because one would think it would, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's fantastic. Right. It's those intangible things. And I'm wondering what it is about the culture that this organization has had since the early days, how that has kind of carried across into this new iteration of Titans football, that you see them having those same kind of approaches.
Yeah, it's just the DNA that you have of the coach. I mean, look at Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel was a player. We went to The Ohio State University together, and everybody said that he couldn't make it. Everybody said he was too slow. Everybody said he'll never make it to the next level. Everybody said he couldn't be a great player. Now you look up and you see he's Big Ten All-American, or Big Ten champion, then all of a sudden, All-American, and then he gets to the Tennessee Titans and coaches. Everybody says he can't do this and he can't do that. He's always faced adversity, and he's always came back from adversity. So now you have a guy that went through trials and tribulations and understands how to overcome adversity. So what he's doing is he's taking his DNA out and injected it into his players with his words. So when you have a coach that's been through adversity, that's been through trials and tribulations, that's been through so many things, and you're relaying that to your players and say, you know what, we may be down, but you never should count us out. And it just bleeds through the organization. It bleeds to so many people. And in 1999, we had that same resilience. We had Eddie George. We had Steve McNair. We had Javon Curse. We had Blaine Bishop. We had guys that were willing to run through your lips, to run through your face, to say, you know what, our identity is, yo, we started 8-8 before we were 8-8. We were 9-7. But we're going to figure out a way and claw and win. And that's why the culture of the Tennessee Titans / Orders is so beautiful.
Chris Sanders here with us on 104.5 The Zone. So I just watching Ohio State play defense now, not to take a shot at you, Chris, but they could use slow-mo.
Did you say the Ohio State or the?
No, the Ohio State. I think the Ohio State. They have to earn the back after the way that they've been playing defense lately. I think they would take slow Mike Vrabel back right now.
Absolutely.
So what does this weekend mean to you? I mean, we saw the list of people that are in attendance. We know the legend and the history of what it is that you guys as an organization started in Houston and brought to Tennessee in many, many decades before you started playing for this organization. Chris, what does this weekend mean to you to be around this team, your old teammates, this franchise, and the way that they've kind of welcomed you all back in?
I mean, it means a lot because we're just a big family. And just knowing that, you know, and even just kind of, you know, kind of backtrack a little bit, just the names are going to be in the Ring of Honor this week, like Bum Phillips and Floyd Reese, who I love dearly, and then Jeff Fisher. You know, you get to be around those guys, just like the guy that I played with in 1999. I haven't seen him in years. I probably haven't seen, you know, Joey Ken or Kevin Dyson in a while, but to see their face and to see their smiles and to see what they're doing now, to see their success in their lives is just so beautiful. And I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, I had a chance to actually meet Warren Moon. And when I tell you to sit there and talk to him and get some wisdom from him, he's got a real soft voice, but you can see the edginess in his demeanor. But just to sit around and learn from him and learn the traditions and what he went through as a quarterback and how he came through adversity, it's just a really beautiful sight to see, because even though we played in different eras, but we're still a Tennessee Titans / Orla family, and that's what it's all about, a big, gigantic family.
I'm telling you, Chris, we had Warren Moon on, right, I think it was the Friday of the draft, and it was just, we were just like sitting there like children listening to Mr. Moon tell stories, you know what I'm saying? Like we were in utter awe.
I wish I would have played with him.
Yeah, right? I mean, what kind of numbers would you have had if you were playing with a quarterback like Warren Moon?
I probably would have had like 6,000 yards a game. No, because they did the run and shoot. It's funny because when I got drafted in 1995, I think he just left a year or two before that, so I just missed him.
Right.
I mean, just watch how he throws the long ball. Watch how he takes command of the offense. I mean, it's a beautiful sight to see. So, you know, even though I didn't get a chance to play with him, I still got a chance to be in front of greatness, so that's a blessing to see that.
So let's talk about this game coming up on Sunday that you guys are going to be in the house for. I think that this is advantage Titans entirely, even as they're saying, Chris, I don't know if you've seen the latest reports, but it sounds like Carson Wentz is probably going to go. I don't know if that's a great idea for him, because that screams to me, if I'm a defensive player, blood in the water. But as a wide receiver, looking at a banged up secondary in Indianapolis, understanding what kind of horses you have as the Titans skill position players, how do you attack them in the passing game coming up this week, given that they're going to be fully prepared for Derrick Henry?
Oh, I mean, it's going to be tough. But the only thing that I'm concerned about, I understand everything you said is absolutely true, but you got to look at what the Colts are up against. I mean, they're 0-2. I mean, this is a division game. The quarterback situation looks bad. Everybody's saying they're a laughingstock of the NFL right now. But just last week, the Tennessee Titans were in that same position. Everybody was saying that they were going to lose to Seattle. Everybody said you can't go in and beat them. And you know, the last time they lost was in 2008 when Mike Hogan was the coach. All this stuff was against them. Here's a team that figured out that all the odds against them to come in and win. So now you have the Indianapolis Colts. They're facing the exact same thing. How can you come in there and beat the Tennessee Titans? How can you come in here and your offense is struggling? How can you come in here with a secondary that's bruised and have to tackle Henry? So even though they have the odds against them, you better believe this is going to be a dog fight guaranteed because, you know, they need to win. When you have a team that's backed up in the corner, you have a team that's facing adversity, Frank Wright is going to have that team ready. He doesn't care if you're playing safety or I'm playing corner. He's going to figure out a way to get us in there and get in there to make plays.
No, it's going to be an interesting matchup
to
watch.
Oh, my gosh, it's going
to
be good.
For all of those reasons, because these are still, regardless of what the Colts situation is, I talked about this yesterday, Chris, they're still professional athletes.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day. They still have the ability to get hot for a moment in time and cause problems for the opponent. This is what I think people overestimate or really underestimate, frankly, in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. If you don't understand, they think, second-string quarterback's coming in. That's a second-string quarterback that's a one percenter. When I say a one percenter, that means he's the 1% of people that make it in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's not that you're getting somebody off the Brentwood Blaze or, you know, the NBA Big Red or the Franklin Cowboys. No, it's not that. This guy has made it to the elite status to play in the NFL. So, you know, we can't get caught up. Oh, it's a second-string quarterback. Oh, he's a third-string quarterback. All that great stuff. That's fine and dandy. But that dude is there for a reason because he has the ability to play in the NFL. So we can't get caught up in that. We just got to focus on, you know, the Tennessee Titans got to focus on when we get the coin toss, I'm taking the ball and I'm going to run through your face. And if we run through their face and run through their lips, then we're going to come out with a victory. But we can't go out there nonchalant and say, we're the Tennessee Titans, and, you know, screaming, you know, Henry and all that stuff. That's great. But you still got to play the game. You got to run the X and O's.
He is Chris Sanders. He's one of the best. That's why we love talking to our buddy.
I love talking to you, bro.
I'm looking forward to seeing you guys being honored before the game. And we're going to have to catch up at some point when I get into the stadium, Chris. It's good to have you on.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. You take care, my friend.
Chris Sanders, former Titans and Oilers great, will be in the house along with 60 others to take in the Titans and the Colts as the Titans honor the Oilers legends across the decades at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. I'm excited. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what else I'm excited for on the football field as far as a specific matchup in this game. There is one player who I thought had an outstanding performance in Seattle on the defensive side of the ball. His opportunities this week are going to be fewer because of who he's going to be up against. But I think that he has the ability to cause problems for the Colts up front. We'll tell you about that player coming up next, and you'll hear from him on the other side. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Love when we can get the Blues Brothers soundtrack involved. Now, I know that Lucas went to Zany's on Wednesday night. And that this is how Josh Black, our good buddy the comedian, opened up his set, which makes me very happy because we're all old souls.
I feel like last time we saw Josh Black, it was the same deal. We were listening to Blues Brothers before he took the stage.
Well, that means the man's got class. He's got style. He's got taste. How was that, by the way?
Awesome. They crushed it.
You were front row, yeah?
Front row, yeah. That was not intentional. We showed up, and it was a table for four instead of six, please, because you did not show up. But they brought us to the front row, and we kind of all looked at each other like, okay, do we want to do this?
Now, wait just a damn minute. All right, because you just threw a shot at me that was completely unnecessary. Do you know what happened to me on Wednesday night? Why I didn't show up?
I know that your primetime ran late is what you said. I do not know the extenuating circumstances behind that.
The extenuating circumstances were we couldn't get off the ground until 8:45 that night because of some issue with the video processing. I needed one clip that I had the whole show built around, and it crapped out on us. It took us, it's a whole technical process, and I'm not going to say inside baseball because I'm not going to pay a dollar. Well, you know what? I almost pulled a Lee Corso. Ah, bleep it.
top five college game day moments of all time.
So good.
But no, it was phenomenal, man. I'm blown away every time by how good some of the local comedians here are.
They really are.
Everybody was good. They did not miss a beat. I think five or six comedians performed. They were phenomenal.
It's funny, though, that you bring this up. And I'm going to get to the Titans player who I think has the ability to wreck Sunday's game for the Indianapolis Colts, no matter who is starting at quarterback. And if you guys want to jump in with your nominee, 615-737-1045, who do you think has the most potential to wreck this game for the Titans against the Colts? But it's funny that you bring up, you know, the idea that I didn't show, because I got a call right before we came back from break, like two segments ago, because I'm supposed to go to a winery on Saturday, because this is I'm going to spend my day off, which is not really a day off because I'm still going to have to watch Vols Florida at 6 o'clock. But you know, fine, I'll go to the winery. Now, this is not necessarily something that I'm inclined to do, but it is my friends, not Dara's friends, who are asking me to go, and I feel some level of obligation because I have friends who are Colts fans that I went to college with and went to high school with, and they're coming down for the game. They want to go to a winery on Saturday. Fine, I'll go. But I don't like doing couples outings, all right? It's just not something that interests me. I don't enjoy them. I don't enjoy small talk. Oftentimes, I don't know the person who I know significant others, so it just becomes awkward conversation. And then eventually it devolves into, so how about them Titans on Sunday? And then I'm pissed. I hate it.
Got any tickets?
Yeah, I already had somebody hit me up for tickets this week, but names will not be named. And it's not like I have tickets, by the way. Anytime somebody asks me for tickets, I'm like, you idiot. You know that they don't even want me there. I'm a media person. They don't want me in the building.
I don't understand this misconception that the media just gets like five tickets to every game to hand out.
Yes.
Every single reporter.
Shower us in free goods, team that hates my existence, my very being. Thank you. But I get a call during the commercial break because I'm Lucas, I don't think this has happened to you outside of Wednesday, but I am a notorious flaker. Like I will commit to something and then I'll hope that I can find an excuse to get out of it. And if I can't find an excuse to get out of it, I won't show up sometimes because I'm a bad person. But I got a call basically bitching me out during the commercial break about the winery tomorrow because they are trying to get a jump on the fact that I'm going to flake out on this event at the winery. And I don't understand why. I can't be the only person who feels that way. Like couples outings, maybe some you enjoy. I don't know. Maybe this is just me being a grumpy, not really old, but old person about what it is that I like to do in my free time, because so precious little of it exists that I don't want to do couples outings. But this is what I'm going to be doing on Saturday, and one of the couples is already calling to yell. Not even Dara. Dara's just like, all right, whatever. It's just another couple yelling at me, screaming at me to tell to make sure that I show up tomorrow. So we'll see. Roll of the dice. 615-737-1045 is how you get in on the conversation. Let's go to Dwayne in Nashville who wants to chime in this morning. What's up, Dwayne?
Hey, guys. I was just going to want to comment on Lucas's stand-up comedy experience. Man, I'm glad you guys think that – I know that Buck wasn't able to be there, but I wanted to comment and kind of shout out one of my buddies who's doing Nashville local stand-up. Chance is his name, Chance. He was at Dirty Little Secret, and I've seen him a couple times, but he's one of the – I think he's an up-and-comer.
Wait. Dwayne, they're doing stand-up sets at Dirty Little Secret?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What?
Absolutely. It's
a nightclub.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know. And every once in a while they do a good stand-up act and Chance, and I don't know who Lucas has seen, but, yeah, we have a great – Nashville has a really good underground stand-up comedy scene. So, yeah, just hey, look
Dwayne,
Chance up. On
Dwayne, I think I saw Chance. Chance, is he from Chattanooga?
I'm not sure. I believe so. I used to work with his ex-girlfriend at a hotel here in Nashville. But, he's a great dude, but also, like, I think he's a huge star, I think.
Is
so,
it Chance Willie, by any chance?
Yep, that's it. That's it.
Didn't
that's
mean him. To do that. No, he was phenomenal, Dwayne. I thought he really stuck out the other night. And we saw him, Buck, at the roast. He was really good at the roast.
Is he the short guy?
Dude.
He normally hosts things, and, you know. But, man, I'm glad you guys got to see him. But, yeah, he's a huge stand-up icon here in Nashville, and I really appreciate you guys kind of giving that, you know, Lucas giving me the opportunity to hit the call. And yeah, man, you guys should check him out. And his Instagram name is Egglord, Egglord. You guys have a good day.
All right, I'm on it.
He's really good. I caught some strays for him too in the front row. That's the only comedian I caught strays from was Chance. He's excellent.
What did they focus in on?
I'm not going to take any of his jokes, but I don't want to share it. I don't know. You're not supposed to have your phones out and stuff.
Did you have your phone out?
No. You wanted videos on the front row, and like they will call you out if you have your phone out at Zany's.
So there were no videos, so you failed.
No, I did not take any videos because I don't want to be the guy on the front row. I can't exactly discreetly video the comedian that's right basically in my lap.
You're in the front row. You can't discreetly do anything.
If
you're not there, at least get roasted. So you failed the show because the purpose of that was to get content for the show of you just getting buried by a comedian because your dopey ass is sitting in the front row.
It's also not safe for FCC airwaves in a lot of cases.
Well, you know, we have the ability to edit, which means Lucas has the ability to edit, but he doesn't want to do more work.
Dumping myself. Not doing that.
All right, very good.
No, Chance was awesome. Everybody there was awesome.
Well, I want to get local comedians involved more, and he better be good if he's just going to go with one name. What is he, Zion? Is he LeBron? It's just Chance.
Chance Willie.
It wasn't Chance Willie by chance. What are you doing?
I didn't mean to do that.
That's not
I
true.
Swear to God, I did not mean to do that.
What a hack you are. 615-737-1045. All right, when we come back, I promise I'm going to tell you who the Titans defensive player is. It's going to wreck this game against the Colts. Coach Mack at 1220 for insights and analysis on this upcoming game at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.